Hi, I'm Sarah Coffey, an educator at the National Museum of American History, and you're listening to History Explorer, a podcast that lets you investigate questions about history along with our staff. Before I met slack key guitar player Reverend Dennis Kamakahi, I had never heard of the Hawaiian musical style. Which is not to say that I had never heard slack key playing before. I just didn't realize that it was a style with a name and with deep roots in both Hawaiian history and in the broader story of the American West. As it turns out, if you want to learn about slack key guitar and hear it played, Reverend Kamakahi is probably the best person on the planet to meet. He is one of the foremost players of the style, and his music has won numerous awards. One place you may have heard his songs is in the Disney movie Lilo and Stitch. Reverend Kamakahi recently came to the museum to donate one of his guitars to our collection, and I was lucky enough to have a chance to talk with him. What I learned is that while the style is uniquely Hawaiian, it also has international connections and a universal appeal. How did this style come about? Reverend Kamakahi told me that the story of slack key guitar playing all started out with some cows.
The first cattle that came to Hawaii was brought by Captain George Vancouver, who came on a mission from the King George IV of England and gave Kamehameha the first cattle. See, we didn't have cattle in Hawaii. So, of course, strange animals, looks like they're dogs, so they're like pets. You keep them like pets, but that was probably the worst thing ever. And they started to propagate and multiply and finally becoming a nuisance. So it wasn't until Kamehameha's second son, who became the king, Kamehameha III, that something was done about it. And our king, Kamehameha III, had a petition from the people of the kingdom complaining about the wild cattle. They had greshaks, so they were eating up the roof of the thatch houses. He turned to the Mexican government, and they sent a contingent of cowboys to California. There were five of them that came to Hawaii. They found that the first students to learn the way of ranching, they were very enthused and wanted to learn. So they stayed. They stayed for 2 years. Finally, the contract ended, and a big decision had to be made, whether they stay in Hawaii or go back to California. Well, some went back to their families in California, and some stayed in Hawaii. So we have descendants of the original vaqueros in Hawaii, and they live on the big island of Hawaii. The guitar came because of them. Mm-hmm. The guitar was very important, and it played an important part in the life of the cowboys. This is where all our music comes from, the cowboys. The arrival of the guitar was because of the Mexican vaqueros in Monterey, California. The falsetto singing in Hawaiian music came because of them. Uh-huh. So, that high falsetto that is very popular in Hawaiian music today, traditional Hawaiian music, is all from the vaqueros. But that's how slack key got developed, because when they went back to California and left their instruments, the Hawaiians didn't know how to play the regular standard guitar tuning. So they started to experiment and slacken the keys down to the voice for their individual voice ranges. So they had all these different tunings that they could play. But mostly it was tuned to the voice. Now, the Hawaiian word for slack key is kiho'alu. Ki, which is the keys in Hawaiian, ki. Ho'alu means to slacken. So, slack key. But the style of music that comes out of this slack key type of playing is actually the original Hawaiian country western folk music. This is the original music before all the ukulele and other sounds came. And
so the style must have really developed a lot over time.
Because the original slack key was very simplistic, maybe two chords. the slack key we play today is a more progressive slack key. That was because of one man who's a legend in Hawaiian music. And all slack key artists know him, and his name is Gabby Pahinui. And what Gabby was actually a steel player, steel guitar player. And he transferred the tuning of the steel guitar to the new tunings of slack key. There's a tuning called Mauna Loa in slack key. Every tuning has a nickname. I played today was Taro Patch. It's a straight G tuning. And the Mauna Loa is a C6, like the steel guitar. And let's see, about the turn of the century, after the turn of the century, the slack key was not taught, only in the family. It was a secret thing. You couldn't learn it at a school. But it wasn't until later on in about the 40s, 1940, 1950. But it had to go through the approval of the elders before us first. So then it was shared. And that's what you see today. Mm-hmm. It's slacky.
Is there anything else about the sound that's very distinctly Hawaiian?
Yeah. Because I think the styling of playing it is definitely Hawaiian. The first thing in Hawaii is that when our friends bring us to meet their parents, when we were small kids, they immediately become uncle or auntie. That's the concept in Hawaii. And this is unique to Hawaii. I noticed that it's not too much other places I see. So when you grow up in Hawaii, you're exposed to all the ethnic music, not just your music. So I remember we had Japanese music, Chinese music, Portuguese music, Spanish music, Puerto Rican music, and we eat the foods. That's all in Hawaii. Everybody eats everybody else's food. You're not strange to that environment. And everybody grows up from childhood days to the time they go on in separate journeys. It's just like one big ohana or family. You know? And so the concept in Hawaii is a lot different. So as being born in Hawaii, and I look out toward the mainland, my idea of the world is just exactly how I was brought up. It should be a big family. It gives you a better outlook on life, I think, how the world is. But slack key, the particular slack key tunings and songs that were composed for it, if you listen to the guitar real carefully, and especially if you play the guitar while you're singing, the resonance of that guitar is massive. It's not like a regular tuning of the guitar. Once you slacken the strings, what you're doing is the resonance expands, Mm-hmm. And that's why blues music and everything else, it sounds so soothing.
Uh-huh. Is it just because the strings are vibrating?
Right, more? Right. Mm-hmm. And it fills that whole cavity of the guitar. Mm-hmm. And you can feel it, If you have a good guitar and you put it next to you, you start strumming and playing, and the vibration of it goes into you. You become part of the guitar. But see, in Hawaii, we have a belief that if you play an instrument, you're part of your power, your mana, goes into the box. So if you play it long enough, that box becomes very, very powerful. It's all that energy and everything, all in that wood. So when you give it to someone, you have to make sure that, that mana is going to go to somebody good. If you play an instrument, in order for that instrument to sound beautiful, you have to become that instrument. And just like anything else in life, when you pursue something, you have to be dedicated to it. I used to practice the guitar, 8 hours a day, but it's because I wanted to be proficient enough so that I could do as much as I could in music. And then I found out later, is when you practice. Like a lot of the children who are into music, especially piano player, violin player, it doesn't matter what you play. We all have our different times where we are creative. If you utilize those times, you're not tired. You're not tired the next day when you have to do work or anything, because you're in tune with the energy around you. So with music, that's the way it is. For the young, I say, you have a dream, you have a goal, go for it. Later on in life, I don't want to be in a rocking chair and say, gee, I wish I did that. I'm going to do it. And if, whether I succeed or fail, at least I can sit back and say, oh, I've done that. You know, it's not whether you succeed or fail. It's whether you've done what you really wanted to do in your heart and to find out if that's what the pathway was. Every kid I know today listens to music. I mean, it's universal. But if they take the time to really, really get into the music and know a little bit about it, why certain rhythms, you know, and learn how to play the ukulele. It's an easy instrument. I mean, you can carry it everywhere. A lot of rock guys are playing ukuleles now.
In this episode, we explored the regional and international connections of slack key guitar with the Reverend Dennis Kamakahi. Thanks to Reverend Kamakahi for taking the time to talk with us today. If you have any questions for future episodes, let us know. You can find us, along with tons of free learning resources, at historyexplorer.si.edu. Music for this episode by Dennis Kamakahi. This podcast is made possible by a generous grant from the Verizon Foundation.